is up, everybody? Welcome to Student Visa. This is the podcast for the curious and the adventurous, those who want to experience something more. My name is Rob Salasky, and I would like to give you a huge thank you for listening. Whether you are planning to study abroad yourself, want tips for your next big trip, or are just looking to learn about an exciting new place during your daily commute, I know this podcast has something for you. In this episode, I'm going to sit down with Matt Dorrell, my classmate from Luxembourg, and talk about learning languages and how to do so when you're preparing to study or travel abroad. Matt knows six languages, so I feel like he's pretty qualified for this interview. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Student Visa. All right, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, my name's Matt.
Yeah, tell us about yourself. So you have quite an interesting background, and that's why, you know, we're going to talk about learning a language, because I don't think I know anybody else more qualified to talk about learning languages.
I mean, qualified, that's quite a big word you're using there.
Because, okay. Well, you have quite a bit of experience with learning languages.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so to give a bit of background about myself, my name is Matt Dorrell, Matteo Dorrell on Twitter. It's Matteo Dorrell on Instagram. Bugs. I'm super excited to be here. But to give a bit of background about myself, I was born in the tiny little European country of Luxembourg, to Papa Dorrell, who's English, and Mama Dorrell, who's Italian. Hence the accent and the Italian name. I learnt those two languages through my parents, English and Italian. And then living in Luxembourg, going through that school system, you learn Luxembourg. You speak Luxembourgish to your friends, to your teachers, and all the textbooks are in German, so you have to learn German as well. And eventually, when it comes to secondary school, they do a complete U-turn, and instead of like German being the textbooks being in German, the textbooks are in French, so you have to learn French all of a sudden. So I had to learn all five of those languages. Well, didn't have to, but I eventually learned all five of those languages. By age 10, I spoke five languages. And then 12 years later, I started university and I decided I wanted to learn Spanish as well for no particular reason, except for I want to.
Gotcha. That's fair enough. So when exactly did you start speaking Spanish? Learning Spanish?
Yeah, I guess I sort of tried learning a little bit, freelance is not quite the right word, but sort of DIY, using like apps like Babbel and Duolingo to sort of, but I didn't quite like that, because I thought to myself, I need to learn like how alphabets work, because that's one thing I feel Duolingo and Babbel don't do right. You have to learn how the alphabet interacts with every language, because like the letter O, for example, in English is O, which is oh, if you slow that down, that's like two different vowel sounds. Hmm. But in Italian and Spanish and French, it's all oh.
Hmm.
Or oh, I mean, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And Duolingo is not good at that. Then I did a year of Spanish at my University of Greenwich, and that's the lessons there. I feel like I didn't learn much. And then I came here, so I decided I'm going to do an exchange. I'm going to do it in Spain so I can immerse myself in the language and learn immerse myself in the culture and learn the language by being thrown in the deep end. Whether that's worked or not, I don't know.
So when you decided to learn Spanish, was that at first just for the language, or did you kind of want to learn Spanish with the intent of traveling or studying in Spain, or kind of like what came first there?
The language came first. I'd be lying if I said, if I were to say like, oh, I've always wanted to go to Spain, I've always wanted to see Barcelona, Madrid. Like, I'd be lying if I said that. I don't think I had a particular vested interest. But I thought to myself, I've got all these languages already. I might as well try and leverage these skills and try to boost them up even more. I thought, yeah, I chose Spanish as a language to learn because I thought it should be easy enough with Italian and French. And but I found it odd to learn a language at age 20 after I haven't done a new language since fourth grade, so when I was 10.
Okay, that's interesting. Go down the list of your languages before Spanish.
Before Spanish. So in order of learning English, Italian, Luxembourgish, German, French.
Okay. And those were all at a pretty early age. And then you said 10 years later, yeah, you decided to learn another language.
Yeah.
So what did that look like? Did you find it easier to learn a language number 6 versus language number 2 or 3? Or maybe that's not even a fair question because you might not remember learning those first three languages.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I truly don't think I do remember. I remember starting French because you start French with 9 when you're 9, I think, 8 or 9. I remember finding that a little bit more difficult because it was a little bit odd, and it was supposed to be the same as Italian, but the thing is I didn't write in Italian. I only spoke Italian, really. And I didn't really read it very much outside of like Disney comics. I don't know if you had those in America, but little
Disney comics.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they definitely exist.
Well, Donald Duck and that.
But you're talking about a comic book?
Yeah, yeah.
I have never seen anybody
have,
read
big
them.
Stories in them. Anyway, I would read those in German and Italian.
Okay, fair enough.
My mum wanted me to learn, and my brother as well. Hence why, as from a young age, most of my video games were in German as well, because my parents wanted me to learn to be more aware of the language. But yeah, I didn't quite understand. I don't think I remember the process of learning a language.
Okay.
I remember the language classes, but not quite the process of this word means this, and these are the contexts in which you use it. I find that crazy because now my French and my German are quite bad, but they are flowing. It's very fluid.
Okay.
So I can have a very good conversation with people, and people understand me. Yes, I make some basic is it orthodontical? Is it the word? I don't think so. But so some not quite grammar mistakes, but
just contextual.
Yeah, but no syntax errors. Never a syntax mistake.
Okay.
Sentence structure.
Interesting. When you first started learning Spanish, how did it change from going to I just want to learn this language for the heck of it? And then once you knew you're going to go study in Spain, did it change at all, your approach to learning the language?
A little bit, because when I knew I was going to Spain about 3 or 4 months before I actually, got on the plane. And in that time, I feel like I sort of neglected, didn't put as much of an effort into my Spanish classes. I mean, I was sure I was focusing on other classes outside of Spanish in my marketing major. So there is that element as well, but I definitely feel like I could have made a tiny bit more of an effort for Spanish so that when I actually got off the plane that I'd be okay and I'd survive.
Okay, so before coming here, you had, you said, your kind of do-it-yourself apps and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but you didn't really love that.
No, and I did classes as well.
And you did, okay.
But it was classes for English speakers, and don't want to insult all the English speakers, which is probably most people watching listening to this podcast. But native English speakers just do not know how to do language, especially English people. I find that what happens is that they genuinely believe that the language they're learning is an extension of English and they don't shift gears.
Interesting. Then my next question is, how did your approach to learning Spanish change from before Spain to actually getting here? Did you start doing some different practicing, or did you, everyone makes it sound Oh yeah, just go out and talk to people. And I mean, yeah, that's a pretty simple solution. But like, what was your approach, and how did it change once you got to Spain?
My initial idea was, when I'd get myself into residency, that I'd just like throw myself in the deep end. I don't know. My Spanish is very bad. It's very extremely rudimentary and basic. And I'm just going to interact with all the people in my residence in Spanish. I didn't end up doing that, because what happened was, is that I took a short course before September in August, which was like an intensive Spanish class. You know, I learned a lot in that class, sure. But what happened was, is that all the friends I made were other internationals learning Spanish. So once September rolled in, my friends that I was hanging out with and I was going out with were international students and not local Spanish students. So I eventually lost that idea of learning Spanish through interaction with Spanish speakers. I try to do it now. I'm just not very good at it. So I feel like I could have maybe made a bit more of an effort to see to make more friends with Spanish speakers, because even this semester, most of my friends is you, Rob, it's Adam, who was also on this podcast, and like also international students,
right? And I think that's definitely one of the hardest things about trying to learn Spanish when you're in Spain, is, or like specifically studying abroad, is because everybody who is also on exchange is gonna, they need friends. So you're naturally gonna make friends with people who are on exchange as well. And they're likely gonna be a English speaker more than a Spanish speaker. And so it's hard to like really find a group of friends that are from Spain that like want you in their group as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's just like a natural obstacle you're gonna face as a study abroad, like an exchange student.
An interesting element as well, that like the fact that I speak other languages, it's something I really enjoy when I meet a new person and they're like, oh, I'm from Germany, and then suddenly I'm speaking German to them. You know, it's very nice to see like their eyes light up and they're like, oh, I can speak my native language and be a bit more comfortable. It's always nice to see, but at the same time, that's not very healthy for either of us if we're trying to learn a language, you know.
Yeah, but it takes so much like discipline and self-control to have a conversation at a much lower like level, like just to make a conversation so much more difficult on your own will by trying to speak Spanish is like
100%, yeah.
Ridiculously hard to do. Cause I mean, even just earlier today, I was with some friends and then we're all like, yeah, you know, like my Spanish isn't quite where I would like it to be. And like, okay, let's speak in Spanish for the rest of the conversation. And we made it a few sentences or something like that. And then, you know, it kind of flipped back into English, but,
usually what happens.
It's definitely tough. So here's another question for you. What type of learner are you? Like just in general, for example, I would consider myself a very visual learner. Like when I was telling you a second ago, I remember faces, but I never remember names. And that's because I'm a visual learner. And so I have found that to be extremely annoying when it comes to trying to learn Spanish. And so like there's a specific approach I have to take as a visual learner, as opposed to like more of an audible learner. So like, what type of learner are you, and how does that shape the way you learn Spanish?
I literally don't know. The way I learn, not just language, but also in class, is just 100% focus. And
yeah, let's talk about that. The way, because you don't take notes in class. You just literally sit in the front row, put everything down, like focus in 100%.
Yeah.
So I feel like that means you're probably a super solid like listener. Like you can hear something and it really sinks in. That's not how I am. Like I have to write it down and look at the physical words and then I remember it.
That could be, but for me it's more concentration. Like I don't know what it is, but if I have a piece of paper in front of me, I can't take notes because I end up like doodling or like drawing extreme jazz reharmonizations of Mbop by Hanson. One thing I also try to do is, like, when I'm sitting at table trying listening to professor, I also put all my pens and all my bags in front of me. I have my desk clear. It's not that I necessarily believe in feng shui, but there's definitely something in the idea that if there's only one thing you're focusing on, anything can be a distraction. So, like, my headphones that I wear to class are nice and red and bright, you know, and if I'm listening to the professor and I notice the headphones, I'm like, huh, look how red those headphones are. It's kind of like, then suddenly I'm distracted. I just missed the last 5 seconds or whatever it was the professor was saying. And that's why I believe personally people shouldn't multitask. Like, I see people like watch a film and do their homework at the same time. And it's kind of like, you're not going to get the film or everything of the film, and you're not going to do your homework properly because your focus is on two different things. But people insist, like, no, I've got to have a film on. In the context of, like, learning a language, I know a lot of people, what they do is they listen to Spanish music and then, like, focus on the lyrics. But the thing is, if you're putting on Spanish music while you're writing your essay, you're not really taking it in. You're not really,
okay.
You're not really consuming content.
Oh, my gosh. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's a good example of multitasking and, like, kind of making a half effort to learn a language.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's another question for you. Do you have two different approaches for learning from scratch versus learning and improving based off of a foundation? Because, and if that question doesn't make sense, I feel like I've heard so many people just say, oh yeah, when you're immersed in a language, you just learn it. And I think that is somewhat, like, valid if you already have that foundation of a couple of semesters of a Spanish class, and you know, like, what the grammar structure basically, like, very simple grammar structure, stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's some truth in that. I believe there's some truth in that idea. Now, a lot of I believe the most widely recognized system of, like, showing your proficiency in a language is the letter system. So there's, like, six levels: A1, A2, B1, B2, and C1, C2, which is near native. And I have found, in Spanish at least, that what it is at first there's the initial hump, isn't there, that you have to, like, get over, and sort of you have to learn the pronunciation and all of that, and, like, the weird letters that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're over that, then you're I've got to stop using the word consuming. Then you're, like, learning vocabulary very, very quickly, very, very quickly. You're learning a lot. And then you're learning tenses a lot. And then it comes to the point where you're not perfect. You know, you're nowhere near perfect, in fact, but you don't know how to improve. And that's a weird one. Then it's sort of like you just have to go over the stuff you know already. Go over the stuff that you know already and over and over and over again. And then suddenly you realize there's a lot of stuff you don't quite know. You realize you might have learned the irregular verbs of poner and tener, right? But there's also a lot of verbs that use that exact same irregular conjugation. So poner, there's suponer, yuxtaponer, and then for tener, there's, like, mantener and sutener. And then you realize, oh, these are words that are actually very similar to English. But with, like, I don't know, that's a bit of a weird example, because that's something I, like, discovered, like, just the other day when I was doing my own research. And I believe once I'm at a stage now where I feel like I'm not learning anything, but when it comes to that point where I know I'm learning new things, that's when I can tell, where I'm pretty sure I can tell people that I'm C1 level at Spanish, because I've got on over that third hurdle of learning again.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Let's just round it out with your tips and advice on someone who wants to learn a language, and specifically to study abroad, because I know learning a language was the single most stressful thing for me before coming here. Was like, how am I going to communicate? Mm-hmm. How am I going to survive when I only have had, you know, a few semesters of Spanish? What are your tips for someone who needs to learn a language to study abroad or travel abroad?
Okay. Don't get frustrated. It's very easy to, like, you realize you're making a mistake and you're just like, I just can't learn, and like cross your arms and like pout.
Pout about it. Yeah.
But like, that doesn't help anyone. Truly, like, mistakes are, the point of mistakes is to learn from them. You know, if you're making the same mistakes over and over and over again, then try to figure out why you're making those mistakes. Because sometimes you make mistakes and you're like, oh yeah, fair enough, I got that wrong. But sometimes you'll make a mistake over and over and over again. And that's when it becomes frustrating, because it feels like you're not able to improve on that. So what you should do with those mistakes is explore what's making you do that mistake.
Hmm.
And then try to work backwards from there.
Hmm. Can you give an example in Spanish, like would you be making the same mistake and then it might be hard to figure out what you're doing wrong?
With me, for the longest time, I had problems with the letter G, because normally it's G, so G-E is G, but, and G-I is G, but G-O is go, and then G-U-I is G, G-U-E is G.
Okay.
But if you've got G-U-E and you've got like an umlaut on the U, it's gwe. So it's, so there's some...
So pronunciation is like...
Yeah, something. Yeah. And because it's weird because I shouldn't have been making those mistakes at first, because like it's kind of similar in French as well. But I think that's something that always annoyed me about French, is that like letters that went unused, and French is full of that. French is full of unused letters.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Probably my least favorite language, I know, but that's a rant for another day.
Gotcha. Are you a fan of trying to learn by watching Netflix or some TV or movies with subtitles?
100%.
Yeah.
Switch your phone off, turn off all other tabs, put the film on full screen. A snack is the biggest distraction you can have, and once you finish with your snack, throw away the wrapper. Just like 100% focus on like what you're learning. And if you're someone who prefers taking notes when learning, yeah, then take notes as well. But like, I think this sort of like lazy of like method of like, oh, I just have it on and then I just absorb it within my soul.
Yeah, osmosis.
Yeah. I don't think it really works.
Gotcha.
In my opinion.
So when you are learning through TV, do you play Spanish audio or do you do English audio with Spanish subtitles? Do you Spanish with Spanish subtitles?
I tend to do English audio with Spanish subtitles.
Yeah.
And I really shouldn't, but the thing is, I really dislike dubbing. Especially like most shows I watch aren't exactly like blockbuster shows like Stranger Things or Game of Thrones. So I watch smaller shows, and where the dubbing studios tend to be like of less quality, they don't go to the biggest dubbing studios.
Okay.
So the dubs end up being not great, and that grates on me. That's something like that pulls my focus away.
Gotcha. But I also think it's, for me, it's been really helpful to watch a movie in English, but then have the Spanish subtitles, because not only do you get to like read that Spanish, you know, on the bottom, but you're hearing how something translates. And I think the trickiest thing about learning a new language for me is just like how you can't just literally take everything from one language and put it in another. There's different verbs for the same situation, and you can figure that out when you're watching a movie and you hear someone say, I haven't seen this in a movie, but something that that my roommates will say is like, let's go take a beer.
Oh gosh.
Like, yeah. And like, you don't, in English we say, let's have a beer, but in Spanish they use the verb take. So
tomar,
vamos tomar un caña or whatever.
Yeah. But the worst thing about the word tomar is that there's two other verbs very similar, coger and sacar. What's the difference between the three? I'm not sure, and I'm a little bit too afraid to ask at this point.
Yeah, and even I think llevar could be to take
llevar,
as well.
Yeah. Llevar.
Which is also like
to take away.
Use that for, oh, is that what?
Llevar. Yeah.
And I know, like, or carry, maybe Yevada is carry.
Yes, it's also,
because, like, it's what you use that for, right, what you're wearing, but you also use it for, I don't know. It's things like that where a verb has the same literal meaning, but you use different literal words for the same purpose. Mm-hmm. I think that's the tricky part. And movies, like hearing something in English and seeing it on the bottom can help you figure some of those things out.
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to mention very quickly, like I mentioned, like, let's take poner. In English, that's to put, right? But suponer, to suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Juxtaponer, to juxtapose. But poner isn't to pose, is it?
Oh, wow. That's annoying. I've never thought about that. I've never heard the word juxtaponer.
Juxtaponer, it's like juxtapose. So it's a weird one because that's in my head now because I like that word in general. So it's like, there's probably better examples. Another one I could say, tener is to have. Or, mm-hmm. But mantener is to maintain. Sustener is to sustain. But tener isn't detain, is it?
Oh, yeah.
So that way I found out there's actually a lot of Latin within the English language and it's in and of itself. I'll probably end up learning linguistics, doing a degree in linguistics when I retire.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. Did you choose Pamplona to, like, specifically when you're thinking about learning the language? Because that's another huge tip I would give to someone who says that they want to learn a language. I would say go to a smaller city.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, if you're in Madrid or Barcelona, you're not going to, or I'm not going to say you're not going to hear people speak Spanish. You're going to hear everybody speak Spanish, but everybody can also probably speak English. And when they see that you're struggling with Spanish, they'll probably really easily flip over and start speaking English with you. So did you choose Pamplona specifically for the language, or did it just kind of happen with your school program or what?
Short answer, no. I didn't really think about that at all.
Okay.
But the idea is that the University of Greenwich for Marketing, Management and Language only offered three universities to me. One of them was Aarhus in Denmark, which I probably would have gone to, but I thought if I want to learn the language, maybe going to Spain is better, you know, like, well, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the other choices I had were San Jorge in Zaragoza and UNAV in here in Pamplona.
Okay.
And then I decided between the two. I was really going to go to Zaragoza. And then this is possibly irrational thinking, but I went to the university rankings. I looked at which of these universities ranked higher, and then I laser focused on UNAV because it's like one of the highest ranked universities in Spain. Well, the other two, there's one in Sevilla as well. I had a choice. Well, the other two were not as high ranked. And
gotcha.
Might not be the best reason to like pick a university.
That's fair.
Or a location to be, but hey, I'm not on exchange to party and travel like a lot of people are. Wink. So like I wanted an Erasmus to learn the language. It was basically a learning experience for me.
Yeah. Okay. So you picked it based off of the academics, but
yeah.
I mean, that's just a huge tip I would give somebody if they say, yeah, I really want to go somewhere and learn language, go to a smaller city. And because if you walk around in Pamplona, you go to the store, the conversation is not just going to automatically be in English. Whereas I haven't been to Barcelona and Madrid actually yet, besides just flying through Barcelona. But when you meet someone there, I've heard that if you are struggling with Spanish, or even if you look like you're not from Spain, people will just talk to you in English. And that obviously doesn't help you in your learning Spanish. So that's a tip I would give somebody. I'm trying to think of a couple more tips that I would give someone. I think just being intentional and being confident to go out and initiate a conversation, in Spanish, and to be like intentional about that, and also have the confidence to do it and just give it a shot and be willing to fail. I think those are, you know, two like pretty cheesy tips, but like I think it can go a long way.
True.
And then another tip that I would give someone that has been helpful to me is just to make learning a language fun and social. So like, it is really hard to have the discipline to try and sit down and have a conversation in Spanish. But one of my roommates, he actually, he graduated his program or finished his internship and he doesn't live here anymore, which is super sad. But for the first couple months, he wanted to learn and improve his English. And I obviously wanted to improve my Spanish. We would go downstairs to the bar right down here that we know the owner, or he knows the owners really well. And we just sit down, you know, have a beer on, you know, maybe three or four nights out of the week. And we'd start talking in Spanish and we were both at a pretty low level. I mean, his English was much better than my Spanish, but all that to say, we made learning the language fun and social, and we were just having a nice chat. And sometimes the conversation would go all in English if I like really needed to communicate something. But for the most part, I think I learned a lot by just like being willing to try it out. And, you know, it wasn't too tough to commit to going down and trying to, you know, go to this Spanish lesson, as we would call it, when you're at the end of the day having a beer with your bud. So
yeah.
I think that definitely aids the process of trying to learn a language.
I should take your advice on that, to be honest.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. Yeah. You just got it. I mean, I was super lucky to have a roommate who was, for one, willing to teach me Spanish, but two, also like he was getting something out of it by learning English. And then actually, I got one more tip. I know I'm supposed to be asking you for tips, but I want to tell people, you know, a little bit about my experience. I think muscle memory is something that I didn't think about in learning a language, but I think it's so important because it's easy to you know a pretty basic vocabulary and your basic sentence structure and how to, you know, form pretty simple sentences and be like, okay, I can do this. I got it. But when you're speaking in your native tongue, you're not thinking about what you're saying. You're just saying it. And I think that in order to get that with another language, you just have to keep repeating the most simple things. So like, and I think that is a reason why it can get really frustrating when you're learning a language after a while to feel like you're not going anywhere. But even that repetitive, simple stuff, like mundane, like really easy kind of stuff I think it goes a long way once you have it just like cemented in your brain. So that would be my last tip to someone, is like to just repeat the simple, easy stuff until you can say it without thinking about it at all, because that's what we're doing right now. You know, like I'm not trying to think about how I'm going to form my sentence in English, and that's the goal in Spanish. Any final tips from you, Matt, on learning a language? I mean, you've given plenty of advice and insight.
I've got nothing. I will say, try not to learn two at the same time. I know it's very tempting. Like a lot of people, I know some people who like open up Duolingo are like, I'm going to learn Dutch, Portuguese and Spanish at the same time. And so I'm like, yeah. I mean, good luck with that. truly like don't learn a third or a fourth language until you truly believe that like your skills are up to par.
Gotcha. Yeah. That learning Spanish alone is tough for me. And thinking about trying to, you know, throw Dutch and Spanish or you know, German on top, like that just stresses me out. Just the thought of that stresses me out. So I'm not going to make that mistake. Not a chance. All right. Well, before I let you go, Matt, I got three questions, and I think you might have heard them before.
I might have done, because I listened to this podcast.
Yes. But yeah, here we go. What's your favorite place you've ever visited and why?
I mean, it's not like I'm prepared for this question, because there's so many. Like I want to shout out to Brighton, Glasgow, Köln, Dublin. I mean, London. I love London. Luxembourg, Amsterdam. There's so many good places, but I think my favorite place in the world is London still.
London.
And I really hope in a month's time that it's going to be okay. I really hope everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. What's one thing from your hometown that everyone does or has that people don't do or have elsewhere and you think that they should do it? And also, before you answer that, clarify what you consider your hometown is. Is
Luxembourg.
Luxembourg? Okay. Yeah. Just
okay. So the most famous Luxembourger in the world currently is Herr Jean-Claude Juncker. If you watch like how he greets his ministers and friends, he does a thing where he shakes with a right hand and with his left, he just slaps the person. It's a very, there's so many like of the older Luxembourg generation that do that. It's very weird. It's like they shake your hand and they slap your face. I mean, not like, they don't like reel back their arm. Be like, yeah. But it's just like, it's just like a pat on the cheek. And it's very odd. Very, very odd.
So that's like a typical Luxembourgish thing to do.
I don't see other nations doing that.
No, I've never heard of anybody doing that. Huh. Interesting. All right. And then a similar question, what does your hometown or country, or in this case, your home country is almost a town as well. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys value more than you think the average person elsewhere does?
Our language.
Your language.
You heard me say that I speak Luxembourgish, and I do get a lot of jokes going, is that even a real language? Are you sure it's not a French or a German dialect? No, it's a real language. And we Luxembourgers are proud of it, because back in the Second World War, when Mr. Hitler was around, he tried to stamp the language out.
Oh, wow.
And the fact that the language exists still is sort of in defiance of those darker times. And so when people joke about it, it's kind of like, there's some, they don't know the context, but at the same time, it's kind of like, it's the language is something Luxembourgers are quite proud of.
And wow.
It's something we value and we try to protect it.
That's awesome. Matt, thanks for being on the show.
Absolute pleasure, my friend.
Sharing your wealth of knowledge about languages.
Matteo Doral.
Wait, what was that?
Twitter.com/Matteo Doral.
All right. Find Matteo Doral on Twitter. I'll put a link down in the site.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I got you. But that's it. And I guess we're heading out to Huevinchos, right?
Woo!
All right. Catch you later, Matt.
Bye.
So that is it for the episode. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. I hope you enjoyed meeting Matt. And I hope you learned a little bit about learning a language and you feel more comfortable to go out and tackle a new language, to study or travel abroad. Like I said, that was the biggest obstacle, the scariest part about coming to Spain for me. But it's really something that everyone can do, and you don't have to do perfectly, because guess what? My Spanish has a long way to go. But it's just part of the experience is getting out there and just trying something new. Tune in next week. I'm excited about that episode that's going to drop next Monday. And with that, have a great week. Check us out on social media at studentvisa.podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And stay tuned for all of the latest and greatest. Peace out, guys.